Your net down. All right. So, you know, what happens is for at least once a year, I usually think right around Christmas time, I have the trilogy. And so I'll go downstairs in the basement and disappear for 3 days watching Lord of the Rings, you know, because I just absolutely think it's the most inspiring movie for or series for me, because it depicts everything we're talking about. Friendship, mentorship, all of those things all tied up into that adventure. And one of the things that we sometimes lose sight of is the fact that with men, how we actually develop friendships is in an adventure. It's like when we're sitting on the couch, that really doesn't, or we're watching, as Paul was saying, those of you who are Browns fans and you're praying every Sunday for that miraculous thing to happen, which has happened a couple of times this year, by the way. It's like, hey, man, look here, man. You know, Browns, a blind squirrel gets an acorn now and then, right? It's like, hey, look here, man. So there, you know, when you watch sporting events and things like that, you know, there's a certain level of camaraderie that actually can develop from that. But when you're talking about true friendship, usually God has wired men to actually experience or begin to develop that friendship in an adventure. There's something that they're doing together. They're side by side. They're tackling something. And I don't know if any of you guys have been in the military before? All right, in the military, there's friendships that develop because you have a common goal, a common purpose, a common enemy that you actually are facing. And as a result of that, there's a bond that happens between you and your brothers. They're not anymore. If you might want to say this, it's like, you know, you go into boot camp and you are all individuals, but you come out and there's a brotherhood that is formed and fashioned in the heat of the battle, so to speak. And so a lot of times we tend to disconnect that kind of thought process into Christianity. But it's interesting that Paul actually talks about, many times he references the military to the kingdom. He does. He said, whoever enlists you, right, you're no longer yourselves, but, you know, now you're that master's property, so to speak. So you could think about it like that. Say, look here now. We are, as we talked about before in Ephesians, it says this, is that we are to put on the full armor of God, right? Amen. That means there's an inference there that there's a warfare that is to be handled and that he expects his men to actually bond together to get the job done, right? Who is the head of the house? Who said me? Now, who's the head of the house? The Lord. The Lord's the head of the house, but who did he put in charge here on this earth to be the head of the house? It's exactly right, in every form and fashion. You're the head of the house. And so all these things have kind of been touched on and kind of been over, you know, as far as the overview goes. We've been talking about this for the last 2 days. But today I've been, you know, entrusted with to talk about friendship, and I have none.
That's why I gave it to you, Gary. Thought you might learn something out of the word.
Inspiring me, man, to move on, right? Like, oh my gosh, man, he's a lonely man. No, but you think about this, though. As far as we just talked about it in our group, ladies can form friendships. I mean, right now, man, they come out of there, man, they can have they'll go to a retreat over the weekend, they come out of there with best friends. We're not talking about friends. We're talking about best friends. We go to a retreat, and you can put us on a week-long retreat. We come back home, and who'd you meet? I don't know. Some dude. And some guy, man, says, I don't know, man. He seemed like he's pretty cool. It takes us a long time as men to form friendships, don't they? But here's the thing, though. I want to talk a little bit about the formula of friendships, but I want to just touch on, just to briefly go over the fact that in 2 Timothy, a whole 2 days, it's based on this. In 2 Timothy, we said that we have a goal in front of us, that every one of us would look at this and say, look, let everyone who names the name of the Lord stand apart from wickedness and withdraw from wrongdoing. Now, in large houses, there are not only vessels and objects of gold and silver, but also vessels of objects of wood and earthenware, and some are for honorable, noble good use, and some are for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things which are dishonorable, disobedient, he will be a vessel for honor. That's what we're supposed to be talking about for the last 2 days, right? That's our goal. So in order for you to think about this, when you're thinking about friendship, you have to have a common goal or a common destination that you can reunite around. right? So here we are, we're saying, look, I want, as a man, I want to be able to present myself before the Lord as an honor or a vessel of honor, right? So what do I need in my life to be around me to in order for to help me to get there? Well, obviously, I need the Word, the Holy Spirit. These are things that I need to be in, that needs to be in my life. But guess what else I need? I need fellow brothers in the Lord to help me get to that particular goal that I'm striving for, right? Because, again, one of the things that happens to me is this, is that whenever I'm walking or I'm in this journey, the last guy that is aware of his own blindsided parts of his body is who? That guy. I need somebody who's going to point out, hey, Gary, what's wrong with you? I've heard that more than once in my life. And what you thinking, man? Or if you lose your temper and you got a brother that's there to say, look here, man, that probably wasn't the right thing to do at that particular time. You need that because why? Because you have a goal. The goal is I want to be a vessel of honor. I want to be a son that pleases his father. Right? So God loves us. Now, look. The reality of it is God loves everybody in this room. He loves you right where you're at. However, there is a part in that relationship that is on my end that says this, I want to be pleasing unto my Father. Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir. I want to be pleasing unto Him. And so I look, Lord, this is what I want to be. So I don't wake up in the morning going, look, I want to be a vessel of dishonor. I just don't do that. I want to be a vessel of honor before the Lord. So that's our goal, right? So when we look at these things, so what happens is for us as friendships have to be centered around a common goal or destination. True friendships do revolve around those things. How do you know where you're going to be at in 5 years? Look at your friends that are around you. Your friends really will reflect about where you're going to be at in 5 years. You guys all there? You guys are already trying to eat lunch. So there's a thinking going on, right? I want to ask you guys this as Acts chapter 9, verse 26. Let's look at that. We're talking about, I was about ready to throw something at Brian. He starts talking about Paul and Barnabas. That's who I'm supposed to be talking about. I got a little offended over there. I had to repent before the Lord. I said, look, Lord, I'm going to trip him up. I'm going to try to get him out of it. But nonetheless, though, there's a lot to be said about Paul and Barnabas, right? Look at that on Acts chapter 9, verse 26. It says this. When Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. We see the initial. So what happens is this, is that Barnabas is coming alongside of Saul. We can see that. And so Saul actually needed Barnabas at that particular time in his life to begin his ministry. Make it sense to you? But here's what's really interesting is in Acts chapter 4, this is the first time I found this to be a detail that I've overlooked for a long time. Is that did you know that was Barnabas was not his God-given name? That was a nickname. A nickname given to him by the apostles. Which meant son of encouragement. Or in ESV, it says son of exhortation. So I'm thinking to myself, I said, man, what kind of a nickname is that? So when the guys are like this and they're seeing your life and they're looking at you and they're going, you know what? His name is Joses, I believe is what it was. Joses, you ain't Joses. You got name wrong, Steve. Your name is Barnabas. And then Barnabas is looking at it going, son of encouragement? Really? I do like that. It has a better ring to it. And he begins to walk in. I said, man, you know what? He is, but he walks out. His name was reflective. And obviously in the biblical times, your name was reflective of who you were. Right? Right? So Barnabas, I'm son of encouragement. What a name to give to a guy. Amen. What a name. What a guy to actually be on the scene when Saul needs somebody like that. Wasn't by happenstance. The Lord had directed that. But what I like about Barnabas is he's a kingdom guy. Amen. He wasn't a guy that's just kind of floating around, thought, hey, this guy needs to be, hey, Chris, you need to have a friend. No, no, no. What he saw and what motivated Barnabas was his eye on the prize, the kingdom. Yeah, that's true. Amen. In Acts chapter 4, he sold all that he had for the kingdom. So you guys have to look at it. Man, there's something about this guy that all of a sudden when he comes upon Saul, he's recognizing that there's something about Saul that's going to be utilized to advance the kingdom of God. This dude needs to be befriended. See, so he had that common goal. He had that vision out there in front of him, just like you saw right there with Frodo and Sam. The vision was to destroy the ring. That's why Sam picked Frodo up to go take him towards that, because we're going to finish this race. We're going to run this course, and we're going to get the job done. We're going to get this ring out of the equation so that we can get back to the Shire. Right? Each one of us has to recognize the fact that we are pressing into the kingdom of God. The purpose of this in each and every one of our lives, I liked what Joshua was saying last night when his grandfather's getting ready to pass on. Guess who he's going to see? The prize. Face to face with Jesus. We are running a race. Sometimes we lose sight of that fact that we are in a race that needs to be run with endurance, and that we need to finish the race, because at the end of the race, there stands one, Jesus Christ. And it's going to be worth it all when we see him, right? Amen. Look here now. I want to be there with brothers in the Lord. Amen. This is my brother, the band of brothers. That's a whole different thing there. And you start to think about the depth of that, right? So we look at, I've just begun. I've got 10 minutes. I'm waiting for that flashing of the 5-minute sign. That's what I always get here. I feel like that's a little offensive, but nonetheless. Let me ask you guys this. When you think about a thermometer or a thermostat, which one are you? It's a challenge, a thought process, right? What's the difference between the two?
One tells you the temperature, one makes the temperature.
It's exactly right. So then, what is the role of a man?
Make the temperature.
You are a temperature setter. Whether you like it or not. You walk into a room, and the room reacts to you. Does it not? When you walk in, and when you're at home, and I don't care whether you're a young guy, old guy, real old guy, it doesn't matter. When you walk into the room, a lot of times, what's the room waiting for? And when you walk in, what are they looking for? And they're seeing what kind of mood you're in. If dad walks into the room and he's feeling pretty good about the circumstances, the family goes, right? But if dad walks in the room and his glasses just left right there, Jerry. That's exactly right. My wife goes like this, I'm going to the back room. She slide on back there, right? The same thing happens, though, is that when we think about friendships, when we think about these types of things, you're setting the mood or you're setting the tone in that relationship by who you are. I'm going to take the initiative. That's what happens to us when we're talking about these things. So here's some points to think about when you're developing friendships, because I want to make sure I don't overlook this. Back in, I think, about 10 or 15 years ago, they did a study about men over 50 and unexpected deaths or I forget how they had actually titled it, and they were saying this, that men over 50, one of the reasons for unexpected death in men over 50 was suicide. Wow. Now, again, heart disease is the number one cause of death, but unexpected death, suicide, men over 50. You guys know why that is? Loneliness. The older we get, the more isolated we become. It's just a natural thing. It happens very easily. We can revert or draw back into ourselves and find ourselves alone. And then when you become alone, then what happens to you? You become very susceptible to mind games. And those mind games can be very destructive. God has built you for fellowship with Him and with others. I want to make sure you understand that. And that these 2 days that you're here is an investment in that. You're investing in the kingdom, but you're investing in yourselves as well. Proverbs 18:24. The first thing that we need to recognize about this, if you want to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. Amen. Right?
Amen. Wow.
ain't got no friends. Man, I can't stand being around you either. Right? You ever meet somebody like that? Man, look here, man. Look, I'm going to do my part, man. This guy said he ain't got no friends. I'm going to take him out to lunch. After I got done with lunch, I said, I'll never see that dude again. Enough is enough, right? It's like, look, I don't know if you guys, I'm just being honest with you. Holy mackerel, I can't get out of this place fast enough, right? It's like, as soon as he went to the bathroom, I bolted. It's like, look here, man, I'm out of there, man. But it says this, it says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. He's the initiator. You're the initiator. You're coming alongside. Barnabas came alongside of Paul, the encourager, right? He's the encourager. So to have friends, you've got to initiate the situation. Don't wait for the friends to come to you. There's not a friend bus outside waiting to come to you. You're going to have to go out and make friends. Holy cow, 5 minutes. Let me move right through this real quick, right? You guys understand that, right? You got to get up off the couch. That's what Josh was saying last night. Man, look, man, get out there and make friends. How do you make friends? I'm going to tell you something that's going to be kind of crazy. Start encouraging people. Who has the gift of sarcasm? Be thou delivered. No, I'm just kidding. He's like, I found to be, I used to think that was a gift. I'm not dogging you out, man. I'm just saying. I used to think it was a gift. But you know what that gift really, really, really had the roots in? My own personal value of who I was. And once the Lord started dealing with me about degrading myself, I started encouraging others. Really kind of crazy. That was all part of my constant overview. I would always think about, you know, what I was not. And I would make fun of it so that, you know, it's better to laugh than cry. But the Lord told me, the Lord dealt with me about that and said, man, you just need to stop that. Because who I am is who I am in Christ. That's not to be made fun of.
Amen. Right?
Right? So encouragement is that you're looking to look to others to be able to say, look, how can I help them become who God has created them to be? Which is, in Proverbs 11:25 says this, the generous soul will be made rich. He who waters himself will also, he who waters will also be watered himself. Second principle. The second principle is this, as I encourage others, guess who gets encouraged? Kirk, it's just you and me this morning, brother. It's a funny thing that when I start to help and give out or serve others, even in serving, when you serve others, who gets really blessed? You do. And it's the craziest thing. I'm telling you, and to me, encouragement is really more than words as well. It's nice that you can always encourage people by, you know, giving them positive, you know, positive feedback, that type of thing. Tell them, hey, look, man, you know, hey, in a sense, hey, when you thought, hey, Steve, you did a good job today. Those are good things to think about. But sometimes encouragement is coming alongside somebody, holding them up when they're falling down. Reaching out to them, picking them up, right? There's actions in that stuff. And so we need to think about these things. Like, look, man, I want to, you know, I deal with guys every day who look down on themselves. The first thing I want to be able to do to them is to help them to see themselves differently than what they have been, they perceive themselves to be. So you speak truth to them.
Right.
Truth will bring some people. Hey, truth will set you free, but it also bring you alive. Right? Deuteronomy 32:30 is this. It says this. How could one chase 1,000? These are principles that when I know this is that whenever I got friendship and two put 10,000 to flight, unless their rock had sold them and the Lord had surrendered to them. I also like this in Ecclesiastes 4:12. It says this, a three-cord strand is not easily broken. Now, we're talking about that. That's actually, we use that in marriage ceremonies where a husband and wife come together, they become one, and the Holy Spirit is that weaving inside there. That particular relationship is not easily broken when it's centered around Christ. The same thing can be said about us, as that we multiply our strength through friendship.
Amen.
You can do some things alone, just like what Kirk was talking about just a minute ago. Clean up afterwards. He can do it alone, and I'll let him. However, it will take him a long time. But if he has brothers that come alongside of him to help him do what needs to be done, boy, oh boy. he's going to get out of here a lot sooner than 4 o'clock. Right? You find yourself, you give, or in a sense, you have the ability to achieve a lot more when you connect with and you develop those bonds with brothers in the Lord. Even sin in your life is easily or easier to overcome when you have a brother holding you up, getting through it. Right? The last thing is this. We must have a common purpose. 2 Timothy 4:12, to be a vessel of honor. We need to be honorable men. That's my goal. I want to be around that. I want to be able to, if you want to pass on a legacy of where we're passing on the legacy of godly men. Just what Rich was talking about last night. Right? So, with that being said, I think we're done. Right? Am I done? Do I have a minute?